verses 1 to 12, and just a short few verses as well from John 19. So Luke chapter 2 and 1 to 12, focusing in again on the Christmas theme. Luke 2 and verse 1 is about the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then over to John chapter 19. John 19, verse 38. Just after Jesus died, later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices and strips, in strips of linen. There was an accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was a Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. We'll end our reading there. Oh yeah, we'll go on another bit, because early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and said to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. And we'll stop our reading there at verse 8. Lord, just please help us as we listen to your word and as we consider thoughts about you again this morning. We just thank you for your love for us, and thank you for coming to die on the cross for us. Thank you for coming as a little babe. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all the thoughts we have of you. And we bless you for being so real to each one of us, because you are a real person. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just following on from our theme of the Incarnation that Luke shared with us last week, that is God taking on humanity, becoming flesh, the birth of our Saviour. This week, we will continue to consider why Jesus came to this earth as a little baby. What was his mission? We heard last Sunday of the different fictional superhero characters like Superman, Spider-Man, and even Flash, the lightning fast boy. But the person we focused on last week was the Lord Jesus, who was the greatest superhero, and there is nothing fictional about him. He was real. He was born as a baby. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He spoke all those amazing words. He performed all those astounding miracles. He suffered and died that agonizing death. He arose a victor from the dead, conquering sin and death. From his birth to his death, born in a borrowed manger and buried in a borrowed tomb. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords came to this earth in humility. It was not the entry or the exit you'd expect for the dear Son of God who left his glory above. You know, there are many famous tombs today in the world. The biggest one is the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. It is said that it took 20,000 workers and about 20 years to build. Now, I'd say not many of you know who was buried in that tomb. Any takers? It was built as a tomb for a pharaoh. You could have said a pharaoh, he'd been fairly correct. Called Khufu, K-F-U-H-U. Ever heard of him? No. I hadn't either. So, the greatest, biggest tomb in the world, built for a guy we've hardly heard of. In India, one of the most famous tombs in the world is called the
Taj Mahal.
Yes, that's right. And yet, do you know who was buried there? It was the wife of an emperor, Shan Yahan, and her name was Mumtaz Mahal. You might have said Mahal, you'd been half right. Mumtaz Mahal. And there's another person that we haven't heard of, even though everyone's heard of the Taj Mahal. Big, famous tombs that we don't really know about who was buried in them. We just know the structures. And for these two very famous tombs, we know the names of the tombs, but very little about the person they were built for. Yet in the case of the Lord Jesus, we don't know for sure which tomb was his, and it wouldn't really matter, as the Lord only needed it for 3 days. His body is not there now, nor his remains. As the angel said to the woman at the tomb, with the stone rolled away on the first day of the week, in Luke 24, 5 to 6, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is risen. He is not here, he is risen. See, we know so much about the person buried in that tomb that we don't know where the tomb is, about the Lord Jesus himself, and each of us can have him as our friend and our saviour today. One day when Jesus returns again, everyone will confess that he is Lord and will bow before him, as Philippians 2 says, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let us remember Jesus, God's Son, existed forever. He who was and is to come. He is the eternal Son of God. His existence didn't start at the virgin birth or the conception. Mary was not the mother of God, as many like to call her. God the Son had always existed and will always exist. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. Jesus said it himself in John 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We can think of other borrowed things mentioned in the Gospels besides the borrowed manger and the borrowed tomb. Things like the little lad's lunch that Jesus blessed and multiplied to feed 5,000 people. Or the boat he borrowed when he preached from it in the Sea of Galilee. Or the colt, the donkey he borrowed to ride into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Or the room he borrowed on the night of the Last Supper. Or the tomb, which was borrowed as well. The person who created everything, yet when it came to this earth in human form, he needed to borrow so many things. In Matthew 8:20, Jesus says, foxes have holes, they have dens, and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. No property, nowhere to call his own. The servant king. Following the Lord is not to share in fame and power or comfort, but to share in sacrifice, suffering, and hostility. Someone has said, true followers of the Lord Jesus are made in a moment, but proven over a lifetime. What was Jesus' mission in coming to this earth and becoming a human being? In John 3:14, Jesus himself tells us, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, and everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Jesus' mission, his true mission, was to die in our place. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God was sacrificed instead of you and me. Those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Right just before his birth, an angel appeared to Joseph and told him, Matthew 1:21, about the coming birth of a son, and that he is to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The Hebrew name for Jesus is Yahshua, and this also carries the meaning of rescuer or deliverer. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, who came to bear the sins of the world and take mankind's punishment upon himself through his death on a cross. On the cross, just before Jesus died, we remember he cried out, "It is finished." What was finished? The purpose he came to fulfill, his death in our place. He died so we might live for eternity with God, having the debt of our sin cancelled, paid in full by the Lord Jesus. What was the purpose of his coming as our Saviour? The Lord Jesus was born to die. Christ came to die for the sins of mankind and to be resurrected and conquering sin and death, bringing the free gift of salvation to all who place their faith and trust in him. That borrowed tomb was empty on the third day. He successfully carried out his mission. Jesus, the God who saves. Jesus didn't come as a great political leader, born in a palace into a royal family. No, instead, Jesus came as a gentle servant king, born in humble circumstances, to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to provide a way to have a right relationship with God and to be part of God's family. Luke read it last week in John 1:12. John writes, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." Here is a song written by a songwriter called John Campion I came across that speaks so beautifully about these thoughts we are considering this morning. It says, "At birth he lay in a borrowed manger. In the inn was found no room. In death's dark hour a friendly stranger placed him in a borrowed tomb. So bold and brave, Christ scorned the grave. His life he gave the world to save. He seeks a home, not a tomb nor manger. In our hearts, let us make room. At birth, the shepherds came to cheer him, told by angels where he was. At death, the crowds turned out to jeer him, dying on a cruel cross. On that grim day, when sin held sway, Christ showed the way, our debt to pay. And still today, if we will hear him, he will take our pain and loss. At birth, wise men sought to prepare him, bringing incense, myrrh, and gold. At death, a drug was brought to spare him, as the agony took hold. The death he died, all hell defied. His mercy wide bridged the divide. Christ is the gift, we too must share him, as the saving truth is told. His birth fulfilled long expectation, born to save both rich and poor. His death removing condemnation opened wide the heavenly door. Now he is king, his praise we sing, our worship bring, an offering. This message is our sure foundation. Christ is Lord forevermore." John Campion. Matthew and Luke both write in detail about the birth of Jesus, that first Christmas, and about events directly after his birth. Not only did the angel Gabriel indicate Jesus' saving purpose in saying he will save his people from their sins in Matthew 1:21, but as we read on, another two people who also reveal Jesus' true mission in his coming to this earth, just after he was born. First we have Simeon. Simeon's prayer of praise alluding to the salvation Jesus would bring when he took the baby Jesus in his arms in that temple only days after his birth in Luke chapter 2. He prays God saying, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations." And Simeon also prays that Jesus would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. What Simeon is referring to is a prophecy back in Isaiah 49 verse 6, which links the light of the nations to the Lord's salvation. Also, when Simeon saw Mary and Joseph, he prophesied of Jesus' death, which would cause Mary great anguish. Then we have Anna the prophetess, in following verses, Luke 2. And she spoke of Jesus' mission of redemption, giving thanks to God and spoke the good news of Jesus coming to all those who were present in the temple courts just there and then. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he prophesied about his death and resurrection, even though at the time his followers didn't understand. Jesus' continual speaking about these upcoming events emphasizes their central importance in his mission. In Matthew 16:21, it says, "From this time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." He said, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." Matthew 17. And in Mark and in Luke, also those verses are quoted as well. Jesus' focus was on accomplishing the mission his Father had given him to do, John 6:28, and nothing would distract him or deviate him from that mission. The mission to lay down his life for others and to be raised from the dead, according to the prophecy of Scripture. Jesus says in Matthew 20:28 and in Mark 10 as well, verse 45, that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, our Redeemer, purchased our salvation on the cross by taking our place. As the song we sang earlier says, he came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Only Jesus, manhood and deity, could be the perfect sacrifice to pay the terrible debt of sin for all people. As 1 Peter 2:24, speaking of Jesus, puts it, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. He who had no sin took all of man's evil deeds upon himself, dying in our place on the cross. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, bringing victory over death at his resurrection. Jesus freely gives new life to all who trust in him. Romans 3:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We're so taken up at this time of year with the giving and receiving of gifts. Yet the greatest gift you will ever receive is the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through his own power and by his own choice, the Lord Jesus laid down his life as the sacrificial lamb. In John 10:17-18, Jesus says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." The sacrifice for our salvation was a one-time event, but its effects reverberate throughout the world, right up to the present day, affecting lives just as it did 2,000 years ago when Jesus uttered those words from the cross, "It is finished." Nothing can be added and nothing can be taken away. When I attended Sunday school a few years ago, we often sang this song at Christmas time. "No room for the Saviour at Bethlehem's Inn, only a cattle shed. No room for this earth, on this earth for the dear Son of God, nor to lay his head. Only a cross do they give to my Lord, only a borrowed tomb. Today he is seeking a place in your heart. Will you say to him, no room? O Lord, in my heart there's a welcome for you. Gladly I now would say, come in, precious Saviour, my heart and my life, both shall be yours today. Long you have waited and long knocked in vain outside my heart's closed door. So cleanse me from sin, then my Lord, enter in and live there forevermore." The challenge to each one of us here this morning at this Christmas time, is there a welcome in your life for the Lord Jesus? Have you welcomed him into your life? Have you received the greatest gift you could ever get? The gift of eternal life in the Lord Jesus. The gift that lasts forever. As a believer, a follower of the Lord here this morning, our task is to tell others about this precious everlasting gift. Each time that each one can have. All they have to do is ask. Christmas time is a great opportunity to tell of Christ and what Christmas is all about and how it began. Eternal life begins with Christ. Spread the word. Tell others about the only one who can save anyone and give them real peace and joy in their hearts. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your one and only Son as a little baby into this dark world of sin. We think of that borrowed manger and we think of that borrowed tomb. And we thank you for the sinless life of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for a sacrificial death on the cross. In my place, condemned he stood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We pray this morning that each of us here present knows the Lord Jesus as our own personal Savior. And that we receive the gift of salvation, eternal life in the Lord Jesus. Help us to tell others of our amazing Savior. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.